And young Leothric answered that he was the son of the Lord Lorendiac of the village of Eletherion. And so saying, he parted another bunch of strands and came nearer to the spider. And the spider, looking up from his work in amazement, asked what was that sword which was able to sever his ropes. And Leothric told him that it was the sword Sacnoth. Thereupon the spider climbed away, going up by one of his ropes to a lofty rafter, and there sat, growling. But clearing his way with the sword Sacnoth, Leothric passed through the chamber, and so came into a well-lit banquet hall, where queens and princes were feasting together, all at a great table, and thousands of candles were glowing all about, and their light shone in the wine that the princes drank, and on the huge gold candelabra. And the royal faces were radiant with the glow, as was the white tablecloth and the silver plates. Between the table and the door, there stood 200 footmen, in two rows of 100 facing one another. No one looked at Leothric as he entered, but one of the princes asked a question of a footman. And the question was passed from mouth to mouth by all the 200 footmen, till it came to the last one nearest Leothric. And he asked Leothric without looking at him what he sought in the banquet hall. And Leothric answered that he sought to slay Gaznak the Terrible, lord of the Fortress of Doom. And footman to footman repeated all the way to the banquet table that the stranger sought to slay Gaznak the Sorcerer, master of nightmares. And another question came down the line of footmen, and when it reached Leothric, he learned that they wished to know his name. And the line of footmen took his answer back. Then one of the princes ordered his men to take the stranger away, where the feasting multitude should not be forced to hear his screams. And footman repeated it to footman, till it came to the last two. And they advanced to seize Leothric. Then Leothric showed to them his sword and told them that it was the sword Sacnoth. And both of them said that it was the sword Sacnoth to the man nearest, then screamed and fled away. And two by two, all up the double line, footman to footman repeated the name of the sword, then screamed and fled, till the last two gave the message to the table, and all the rest had gone. Hurriedly then arose the queens and princes and fled out of the hall. And the goodly table, when they were all gone, looked small and disorderly and awry. And to young Leothric, there came from far away the sounds of music. And he supposed that it was the musicians playing to Lord Gaznak the Terrible while he slept. Then young Leothric, walking towards the distant music, passed through another door, and so entered a chamber vast as the other, in which were many women, weirdly beautiful. And they all asked him of his quest. And when they heard that it was to slay Gaznak the Sorcerer, they all besought him to stay among them, saying that Lord Gaznak was immortal, save for the sword Sacnoth. and also that they had need of a knight to protect them from the wolves that rushed round and round the fortress all the night. Perhaps young Leothric might have been tempted to stay, had they been human women. For theirs was a strange beauty. But he perceived that instead of eyes, they had little flames that flickered in their sockets, and knew them to be the fevered dreams of Gaznak the Sorcerer, Master of Nightmares. Therefore he told them that he had a business with Lord Gaznak and with the sword Sacnoth. And at the name of the sword, those women screamed, and the flames of their eyes sank low and dwindled to sparks. And young Leothric left them and passed through the further door. Outside, he felt the night air on his face and saw a narrow bridge stretching over a vast chasm, and heard musicians playing their magical tune in the distance. So he stepped onto the bridge and moved along it, and to and fro beneath him in the abyss whirred the wings of vampires passing up and down. The further side of the abyss came into view. Young Leothric saw a chamber that opened with innumerable arches, and the pillars of the arches vanished into the gloom to left and right. Then Leothric stepped from the bridge and entered the great chamber of arches. Heavily in the chamber hung the clammy odor of a large and deadly monster. Young Leothric moved forward slowly, with the blade of the sword Sacnoth in front of him, and the eye in the hilt of it looking out behind. Nothing stirred. The music of the magical musician sounded from very near. Suddenly, the great doors on the far side of the Chamber of Arches opened to left and right, and a great and horrible monster came towards him. This was the monster Wong Bongorok, the last and most faithful of the guards of Gaznak the Sorcerer, and he came from licking just now his master's hand. More as a child than a monster was the Lord of the Fortress of Doom wont to treat him, giving him often in his fingers tender pieces of man, all smoking from his table. Long and low was the monster Wong Bongorok, and subtle about the eyes, and well did the monster know that he now faced the sword Sacnoth, for it had been his practice to prophesy quietly for many years as he lay curled at the feet of his evil lord, and to tell his master of the sword Sacnoth, and the young warrior who would one day bear it to the Fortress of Doom. the monster recognized the sword and the man who bore it. And young Leothric stepped forward and lifted the sword Sacnoth to strike. But when the sword Sacnoth was lifted up, the eye in the butt of the hilt looked out from around Leothric's fingers, beheld the monster, and perceived his subtlety. For while young Leothric made to smite at his skull, the monster shot forward, scorpion-wise over his head, the length of his tail. All this the eye perceived in the hilt of the sword Sacnoth, which smote suddenly sideways with the flat of its blade, and sent the tail whizzing over young Leothric's left shoulder. Then Leothric and the monster Wongwongrok fought sword to tooth, and his weapon smote as only the sword Sacnoth can. And the life of the monster went out through the many wounds Sacnoth had made. Then young Leothric walked on, past that dead monster, and went on to the open gates, and the sword Sacnoth dripped quietly along the floor. By the open gates through which the monster Wongwongrok had entered, Leothric came into a corridor, echoing with music. The magical musicians were playing a dirge now very mournfully. And at last Leothric came to the end of the corridor and beheld there a small black door. The black door opened at once to the hand of Leothric, and he found himself in the open air in a wide court paved with marble. High over it shone the moon, summoned there by the hand of Lord Gaznak the Terrible. There the sorcerer Gaznak slept, and around him sat his magical musicians, all playing upon strings. And even sleeping, Lord Gaznak was clad in armor, and only his wrists and face and neck were bare. But the marvel of that place was the dreams of Lord Gaznak, master of nightmares. For beyond the wide court could be seen a dark abyss, and into the abyss there appeared, as of nowhere, and with the rapidity of dreams and the substance of reality, a white cascade of marble stairways. And they widened out below into terraces and balconies with fair white statues on them, and descended again in a wide stairway, and came to lower terraces in the shadows, where dark, uncertain shapes went to and fro. These were the dreams of Gaznak the Sorcerer, and issued from his mind, and becoming marble passed over the edge of the abyss as the musicians played. And all the while, out of the mind of Lord Gaznak the Terrible, lulled by that strange music, went spires and pinnacles, beautiful and slender, ever ascending skywards, while the balconies and terraces still sank into the abyss. And marble dreams moved slow in time to the music. But there were terrible things there as well, and Leothric shrank from the sight of them. Thank you. When Leothric stepped from the black door, Lord Gaznak opened his eyes. He looked neither to left nor right, but stood up at once, facing Leothric. Then the musicians played a death spell on their strings, and there arose a humming along the blade of the sword Sacnoth as it turned the spell aside. For it was a magical weapon, and such spells could have no hold upon the man who bore it. When Leothric dropped not down, and the musicians heard the humming of the sword Sacnoth, they arose and fled, wailing. Then, mighty Gaznak the Sorcerer, Lord of the Fortress of Doom, drew out screaming from its sheath the blade that was the mightiest in the world, except for the sword Sacnoth, and slowly walked towards Leothric, and he smiled as he walked, although his own dreams had foretold his doom. And when young Leothric and Lord Gaznak came together, each looked at each, and neither spoke a word. But they smote both at once, and their swords met, and each sword knew the other and from whence it had come. And whenever the blade edge of Lord Gaznak the Terrible smote on the sword Sacnoth, it rebounded, gleaming, as hail from off slated roofs. But whenever it fell upon the armor of young Leothric, it stripped it off in sheets. And upon Lord Gaznak's armor did the sword Sacnoth fall often and furiously, but ever came back after leaving no mark behind. And as Lord Gaznak the Terrible fought, he held his left hand hovering close over his head. Presently, young Leothric smote fair and fiercely at his enemy's neck. But Lord Gaznak, clutching his own head by the hair, lifted it high aloft, and the sword Sacnoth went cleaving through an empty space. Then Lord Gaznak replaced his head upon his neck, and all the while fought nimbly with his sword. And again, young Leothric swept with the sword Sacnoth at his enemy's bearded neck. And ever the left hand of Lord Gaznak was quicker than the stroke. And the head went up, and the sword rushed vainly under it. And the fight went on till Leothric's armor lay all round him on the floor, and the marble was splashed with his blood. And the sword of Lord Gaznak the Terrible was notched like a saw from meeting the blade of the sword Sacnoth. Still, Lord Gaznak stood unwounded and smiling. At last, Leothric looked at the throat of Lord Gaznak and aimed with the sword Sacnoth. And again the Lord of the Fortress of Doom lifted his head by the hair. But not at his throat flew the sword Sacnoth, for Leothric struck instead at the lifted hand, and through the wrist of it went the sword Sacnoth. And bleeding, the severed hand fell to the floor, and the head it had held aloft toppled down with it. And at once, blood spurted from the headless neck of Lord Gaznak and dripped from the fallen head on the floor, where before there had been no blood when the Lord of Nightmares held his head aloft. But now he could not replace it upon his neck, and the blood poured out, and his body crumbled down. and the tall dream pinnacles of marble went down into the earth, and the wide fair ivory terraces all rolled away, and the dream court was gone like the dew, and a wind came and the graceful columns drifted away, and all the colossal stone halls of Lord Gaznak the Terrible fell, and the fortress of doom faded into nothingness. And the abyss where the vampires had flown closed up suddenly, as the mouth of a man who, having told a tale, will forever speak no more. Around him in the marshes, where the night mist was passing away, and there was no fortress of doom, nor sound of dragon or mortal. Only beside him lay an old man, withered and evil and dead, whose head and hand were severed from his body. And gradually over the wide lands the dawn was coming up, and ever growing in beauty as it came, like to the peal of an organ played by a master's hand, growing louder and lovelier as the soul of the master warms, and at last giving praise with all its mighty voice. Then the birds sang, and Leothric went homeward, and left the marshes and came to the dark wood, and the light of the dawn ascending lit him upon his way. And into the village of Alethurion he came ere noon, and with him brought the evil withered head that had once belonged to Gaznak the Terrible, master of nightmares. And the people rejoiced, and their nights of trouble ceased. This is the tale of the vanquishing of the Fortress of Doom, and of its passing away, as it is told and believed by those who love the mystic days of old. Others have said, and vainly claim to prove, that a fever came to the village of Alethurion and went away, and that this same fever drove young Leothric into the marshes by night, and made him dream there, and act violently with a sword. And others again say that there hath been no village of Alethurion, and that young Leothric never lived. But who shall say what hath befallen in the days of long ago? Certain it is that from that day to this there have been nightmares in the world, but most of them have been of the common kind. And when comets shoot across the sky, there have been no lords of doom riding upon them. At least, none which the storytellers have revealed. Though not all the tales have been told, and not all nightmares have been commonplace, and perhaps not all shooting stars have been innocent streaks of light. in the sky. Fortress of Doom was an adaptation of Lord Dunsany's short story, The Fortress Unvanquishable Save for Sacnoth, and was adapted for the Radio Tales series by Winifred Phillips and Winnie Waldron. Titles and credit narration were performed by Winnie Waldron, the director of this program. The musical score was written and performed by Winifred Phillips. The Radio Tales series is produced by Generations Radio Theater, which is solely responsible for its content. Phonograph and music underscore copyright, W.P. Phillips. All rights reserved.